was the number one motivation, you would be talking about Christ. You would be getting with a brother or sister, spending time in His Word, building and edifying each other in His Word, talking about His Word wherever you're at. Wherever you're at. Morning, day, or night, wherever you're at, you want to be connected with believers. You want to be connected in the Spirit.
They don't understand the pain, they don't know my struggle. When they find you love Jesus, that's when they don't love you. Father, you the one I worship, I put none above you. The people screaming black God, yeah they stuck on colors. God is about to prep the table for the last supper. The lack of love in this world is why the people suffer. Yeah, the faith keep us rooted in the blood cover. Children, listen to your father, don't forsake your mother. Holy Spirit makes us perfect even though we nothing. Life is simple as the life given to the butler. You can kill most your problems if you love each other. I've been shattered into pieces, pieces make a puzzle. War is on the mind, your government is ISIS. Some people call on Jesus only in the crisis. But when they read the word, you never hear excitement. We paying for our water, our price is on the price list.
Our activities and collecting information. Facebook had tagged this personal information.
A chip is on the card, chip is in your license. The Antichrist spirit, these are his devices. They talking about the slaves when they talk about the climate. The wall in your mind, don't look down when you climb it. The book of life signing, lamb to a lion. The spirit is my teacher and this is my assignment. My drive was all gone, apply the alignment. Slave to your sin, I call that confinement. People call it rapping, I just call it holy vibing. Stay in isolation, I work better when it's silent. God made the earth, but before that it was silent. Darkness, void, no air that we could fly in. Then he formed Adam and his breath he put inside him. Then he split the waters, put the firmament inside it. God is the life and those without him ain't surviving. I knew he was the truth as soon as he said,
I am.
World's strongest man, they can never lift the wisest. Getting through them gates, we must be holy like your highness. My brothers speak the gospel and then they go apply it. The ones who live holy, the ones who ain't defiant. The sound of the trumpets, music at its finest. This one here for Israel, this one here for Zion. I'm talking real Israel, the real circumcised. The pure-hearted vessels with the dirt about their eyes. The ones who live in God into the world they done died. Who put away the pride and turn from their lies. A tongue untamed is a tongue that gets tied. People out here burning from that lust up in their eyes. The goats gon' burn, the sheep's gon' rise. They said it wouldn't rain and then came the tide. Water in the blood, locusts in the flies. Jesus betrayed and Peter he denied. He gave paradise to the thief when he died. He believed and since he believed he didn't die. He didn't die. He believed.
Section leaders, what is our concept?
One band, one sound.
One band, one sound. When one of us is late, we are all late. When one of us looks or sounds bad, we all look and sound bad.
You know, when you hear the lion growling and the fucking horn go off at the same time, you know what that mean, right?
Miss the next episode of Organ Farm, where contestants abduct illegal immigrants to get the life-saving transplant they need. It's heartwarming reality TV. Organ Farm, Thursdays on Weasel.
Organ Farm. I tell you, boy, they put the truth right in plain sight for you, don't they? A lot of people don't see it because, you know, I mean, I get it. You know, I kind of understand why a lot of people don't get it and they don't see it. You know, when you work every day, you know, you in and out. Let me turn the music down a little bit. And, I mean, you have a whole big monster-ass to-do list. It makes it hard for you to pick up on everything. You see what I'm saying? But that's why they give you a lot of things to do, because they want to keep your brain from just being able to pick up on subconscious things. Although your subconscious pick up on it, you're not consciously aware of it. They play on that shit, man. They play on it, but it's all good, because we're going to get to the bottom of how they play on that shit so we don't get played no more. You know what I'm talking about? Because today a new motherfucking day, ain't it? That right? They say, Organ Farm coming on Weasel News. Well, you got a little Grand Theft Auto, ain't it? But they already got Lucifer on Fox. I'm telling you, next you're going to be goddamn watching one of them survival series. They're going to run out of food, and they're going to be eating people. See, that's what they're trying to get you ready for, eating people. They done already told you it was a food shortage. Man, I don't know. Not only is there a food shortage, but there's a price increase. So my price fluctuation across the... They just go ahead and say the whole goddamn Babylonian region, right? How can somebody else raise their price and then somebody else raise their price, somebody else raise their price, somebody else raise their price, everybody else raise their price, but who's going to have the price to pay? See what I'm saying? It's a good little question, man, but... We're going to investigate it a little bit more. I'm looking through my archive list. I was going to play the Organ Farm at the end, but the Lord gave me a little something on there. The lion and the horn went off at the same time. I was like, damn, the Lord said it's time to eat, nigga. I was like, for real? Because I was trying to get my timing like I usually do, but I ain't played that track in a minute. So my timing was a little off, but it wound up being right on, wasn't it? Sure was. I got that queued up. We good. We up in there. I seen a lot of other stuff too, fam. I'm finna show real quick before we go ahead and run through what we gotta run through. I've noticed that there's been a lot of people that have been pre-planning for the closure at the end of the year. For example, this is coming from Apple News Plus. It says CSU, California State University, the nation's California State University, the nation's largest four-year college system, plans to cancel most in-person classes in the fall and instead offer instructions primarily online, Counselor Timothy White announced Tuesday. Let me reread through that. California State University is the nation's fourth largest college system, plans to cancel most of its in-person classes in the fall and instead offer instructions primarily online, Counselor Timothy White announced Tuesday. The vast majority of the classes across the 23-campus California State system will be taught online, White says, with some limiting the expectation that allows for in-person activities. Okay. So, there's almost 500,000 people that are in the California State University system, right? And a lot of those people are going to be taught online. But a lot of school systems have already been primarily transferring online. I myself went to a primary online university, so I can understand an online teaching platform. And I'm sure that they have developed way more than what they have from now, because that was 10 years ago. But yeah, they say that they're planning on doing that for their, I guess that's just undergrad. I'm not sure if they have graduate programs there because it says four-year college system. That kind of threw me off because I thought it was saying that it was the fourth largest college. Sometimes I read ahead while I'm reading and I don't know, I should like take my time and read more over it. I did go through this passage though, but they were saying about the COVID-19 and some of the greatest challenges that they have seen from other states and how California, I don't want to say educational system, but the state university or the state of California, state university of the state of California. It's a lot of states now, ain't it? My bad, but you know, shit, I ain't much of a beef eater, but I eat beef a lot though. I don't eat pork, but you know, I fuck with the beef and the chicken, but it's high hell outside, being out there pork. Got these states on top of states, but you know, they said that the corona might be enough meat, right? But I wanted to bring that out because there's a lot of other things that I've seen when I was strolling through Apple News. A lot of Six Flags are reopening. Six Flags going through a real financial time now. They've been going through financial times for a minute. How would that play coming out of this? I don't know. I did hear something on the Rush Limbaugh show about some business matters out in Philadelphia. I was trying to look them up and get more detail on it. This was from yesterday's Rush Limbaugh show. So I probably should go on there and try to gather some information on that and bring it back and try to share it with as many people as I can. Because, I caught the tail end of it. But from what I'm hearing is that in Philadelphia, I think that they're restricting business license for certain businesses that are not essential or whatnot. But, in my mind, I would think anybody that is in business or smart enough to do business and know how to make a profit, you know, if you're a state and everything closed and if you don't have any cash coming in but you got more going out than you do coming in, I would believe that a lot of people that are in business would know how to play that in the best way that to help them with their financial loan sufferings. Because there's a lot of bleeding going on. A lot of states are starting to reopen. The state of Georgia, man, out here, man, it's funny. It's real funny. I've started to notice that a lot of police presence is starting to be, like, vigilant. Like, they're not even trying to hide it. I'm talking about broad daylight in the middle of the street with a fucking speed gun. I'm talking about, and they know people coming around the block, you know, the speed limit's 45. People come around the block doing 60. They already know that. They know. But they still have these speed guns, and they're standing out there, and they're preparing to set up a trap. Now, whether the trap's going to be where the speed guns are, they're going to be farther down, maybe before you get to where the speed gun is, I don't know. But I bring that out because I want people to be aware that as the states reopen, not only are businesses losing money, a lot of states are losing money. There's a lot of people that's losing money now. So now we're really finna start to see the involvement and the role that the Lord had in all this, because we're about to start to see them lose their grip. They're already losing it. Last show I was telling you, I'm like, man, you know, they got everything, you know. But just because they got everything don't mean that you run from it. We need to see just how much they have. And we need to start doing stuff so that we can see how they go about implementing things. You can learn a lot about business just from doing it. But when you actually start spending money, you become a consumer, you see how shit works. That's how you make money. You make money from spending money. Because when you spend money and you see how somebody else took your money, you can formulate an idea how you can create your product or service and how you can still have a smooth transition between the product and the service, you know. Ideally, generating capital. Everybody's out to make money. So when people are out to make money, they're put in a position where they have to do things that they don't want to do. And they, like, the circumstances and situations are skewed because you're forced to do it. So you're going to work. You're going to go home. You're going to be tired. You're going to complain about what you're doing because you don't want to do it. So doing things that you want to do because you want to do it, working for an amount that is sustainable for you and your household, things like that, that makes for a happy family. Like the whole family structure, not just a happy wife, but a happy husband too. Happy kids, happy everybody. Everybody can have and be able to roam free and not be under a lot of stress, right? But a lot of stress comes from outside. We bring it home. So we have to build our fortresses, our home. You know, you have to build a house before it becomes a home. But you build a house a brick at a time. You don't rush to just build a house a day before everybody's expecting to come to your housewarming party, right? You know, I wouldn't want to come to that. House gonna break down. Sometimes in the building process, you build a little bit and then you give it time to settle before you add more to it. You know. Same thing with building a house, come with building characteristics, right? So when you have a little bit more character, you have an idea of what you're doing, why you're doing it, makes it a lot harder for people to knock you off your game. That's what we're talking about today. Let's get into it. More radio.
You attended seminars, and you said your reason there was to learn more about yourself.
Yeah.
My experience has been people attend seminars, especially self-development seminars, to look for the answer. They want to know, what is it out there I can learn so that I can be more successful? That wasn't your motivation?
No, oddly enough. And I think probably you're right. I think that's what most people are looking for. I think they're looking for an answer outside of themselves, and they're never going to find it. I think by this time I realized it was something in me. I met a man here in Toronto. He was one that originally got me involved in studying this, Ray Stanford. And he told me if I didn't like the results I was getting in my life, that I was going to have to change me because they were my results. And he said, if you're going to change you, you're going to have to find out something about yourself. Ah. And that seemed to make sense. I don't think it was an earth-shattering idea. It wouldn't give anybody a brain hernia, but it made a hell of a lot of sense to me. So I started to study myself. I found most people don't know who they are. They really don't.
What do you mean? I mean, I know my name, I know my age, I know where I live.
Yeah, that's not you, though. You know, that's just that. If you ask the average person who they are, they'll give you their name. They'll say, I'm Bob Proctor, but I'm not. Bob and Proctor are two words. My parents give them to me. They're called names, but it's not me. It's my name. Then somebody will say, well, this is me, but this isn't me either. It's my body. Like, you never phone down here to the studio and say, body won't be in today, it's sick.
Okay.
You know, we don't say am hand or am leg. It's my hand, my leg, my body, my name. Who am I? Well, that's an interesting question. Mm-hmm. And I believe if a person will start to study that and look for the answer, they'll find it. See, I think we live simultaneously on three planes of understanding. We're spiritual creatures, we have an intellect, and we live in physical bodies.
Okay.
But because we lack awareness or understanding of who we are, we're totally locked into a physical world, and we let things outside of us control us. 95% of the population are reacting to life. They're not really living at all.
Okay. And would you call that one of the barriers to success?
Oh, there's no question about it. I think there's two barriers. Success is a funny word. Nightingale had a great definition for it. He said a person's successful if they know where they are and they know where they're going and they're progressively moving in that direction. He said that success was the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. Anyone that has a goal and they're moving towards it, they're successful. Most people think that you're successful if you have a lot of money. Quite often you have a lot of money if you're successful, but it isn't. I wouldn't say Mother Teresa has a lot of money.
Okay.
You know, but she's a pretty successful lady. So it's...
Okay, so that barrier to success...
Well, there's a couple of them.
Okay.
I think there's two barriers. One is our conditioning. The conditioning that takes place in our subconscious mind from the time we're infants. All we can do is act and talk like the people around us. That's why we learn the language we learned. If there was 10 languages spoken in our home, we'd learn 10 languages without any trouble. There's usually one, and that's the only one we ever learn. And we grow older and we think, well, I couldn't learn another language. We could learn 100 if we wanted to. You can do anything. But I think we're conditioned. We have a real strong conditioning, usually with not some very good ideas. And then that's the barrier that's inside us. The one that's outside of us is our environment. We have a tendency to act like everybody around us. And if you think about this, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Because if you study statistics, 95% of the people live their entire life and never live the way they want to live. You know that 95% of the population in this country, let's say in North America, the richest continent in the history of the world, they'll work productively, let's say for 40 of their 65 years, and they'll end up with hardly any money. Well, there's got to be something wrong.
So there's not much.
5% of the people end up financially comfortable or independent.
Are you trying to depress us, Bob? Because that's
no. Actually, I think it's quite an exciting idea, because you see, the idea behind it is that anybody can win. Anyone at all. But if we start studying these statistics, I think we'll arrive at the conclusion, geez, I better start thinking for myself rather than follow everybody. Most people, they get a job, they look around, they see how everybody else is doing their work, and they start doing it the same way. They should stop and think, I wonder if any of these people know what they're doing. Is there a better way to do it?
But don't we have a need to fit in? I mean, we don't want to stand out. We don't want to get fired. We don't want to make waves.
Exactly. Just fall into line, you know, take a number, be like everybody around. You know, that'd be great in the animal kingdom. But human beings aren't supposed to live that way. I think we should make a few waves. We should maybe stand out, be different. Not for the sake of being different,
okay,
but because we are different. We all think different thoughts. And I believe we should start to think and build images in our mind of what we'd like to do and then set out and do it.
Okay.
Emerson did that. Edison did that. Marconi did that. Samuel Morse did that. Buckminster Fuller did that. We could go on and on and on.
Okay.
They were different. They stood out. They made a few waves.
Okay. You started with you saying you started with a search for yourself to try to find out more about yourself. Mm-hmm. And you were somewhat successful along the way.
Well, I didn't start it like that in the beginning. I started out wondering a lot of money. I figured if I had enough money, I was going to cure all my problems. I found that wasn't true. I earned a fair amount of problems or money, and I seemed to have more problems. But after working at this for a few years, I decided that, you know, the real answer is get to know yourself a little better.
Okay.
And I don't think you have to go off in the Himalayas and become a guru to...
Okay. What did you do to learn about yourself? You said you went around as many seminars.
I attended seminars.
Okay.
I went and listened to different speakers who taught something about the mind. I think the answer is in our mind if we'll start studying and trying to understand our mind.
Okay. Let me get back to you if I can. What did you learn about Bob Proctor during that study?
Well, I learned that the biggest part of me you'll never see. It's non-physical. And what you see here in the physical body is nothing but the physical manifestation of the higher side of my personality. And of course, that's true with you, and you know, Nancy's on the camera. It's true of everyone. And what we have to study, I think, is how does this non-physical part of my mind work? What happens when I think? Where do thoughts come from? How was this chair built? Somebody had to think. Thoughts are everywhere. And we pull thoughts into our mind and we build pictures or images in our mind.
Okay.
What we want to understand is that's a non-physical side of ourself that's doing that. If I can build an image of something in my mind, I'm quite capable of building a physical replica of it in my world. So if I build an image of me as a happy, relaxed person, I can live like that. If I build an image of myself as being prosperous, I can become prosperous.
So if we think rich, we will be rich.
Is absolutely. We're already rich, just short of money.
Okay, those of us that like to acquire more money and or happiness or whatever we see success, those of us that want to reach the goals that we've set for ourselves, we do it first by...
Well, the first thing you do is sit down and decide what you want. If it's money you want, how much money?
Lots of money.
Well, nobody knows how much lots of is.
Okay.
So you've got to be specific.
Okay.
You write down on a card exactly what you want, and you carry that card around and read it often. Now, this is what I learned in this book, Think and Grow Rich, and it's what I teach in the seminars. I'll teach people how to set goals. But you decide exactly what you want, and then you start to think. Now, you're going to have thoughts come to your mind of why you can't get it.
Mm-hmm.
You have the ability in your conscious mind to reject that idea, kick it out of your mind. Thinking of why you can't do something is never going to do you any good. And keep thinking until you start to think of thoughts of how you can do it. And the way will be shown to you. It comes in the form of images in our mind. Think of how you can and not why you can't.
Okay. So our first step is to set
some goals.
That's the
first step.
Think about how we can go about reaching those goals.
Exactly. And just think of how you can. Now, I'd say before you get into that, you should get a good book and start to study it. Select a person who is already doing something that you'd like to do. Get to know that person.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the experts for advice. Don't ask the person next door, your mother, father, brother, or the guy that works beside you, because they don't necessarily know. There's no point in asking a person how to earn a lot of money if they're only earning $10,000 a year. They don't know. If they knew, they'd probably be earning a lot. It's like, don't go to a sick doctor if you want to get healthy.
Okay.
So you find someone that you can go to for advice. Get a real good book and lock into that book and start to study it. Like, I've had this one that looks like a Bible, you know. But this is Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. I've been reading this thing now for 23 years. I'll probably read it for another 23 years. I get another good book that I brought over here today. It's called The Power of Your Subconscious Mind. Now, I'm not getting a commission for selling this. The author's dead now. He's been gone for a couple of years. But Dr. Joseph Murphy wrote this book, The Power of Your Subconscious Mind. And that's probably one of the best books that you're ever going to find, because you're going to learn something about your mind when you read this book.
Okay.
Now, I read a lot of books. I've got probably 1,000 books sitting in my den at home in my library. But the one that I carry it everywhere I go, and I read it all the time, is Think and Grow Rich. I never stop reading it.
Now, where's the value for you to reread that and read it again? I mean, you must know it well enough that...
I think I could probably recite it verbatim. But the secret is, I once read in a book where it said, when you read a good book through the second time, you don't see something in it that you didn't see before. You see something in yourself that wasn't there before. You see, when I read this, I create a greater awareness. Let me just read you one line out of here, two lines.
Okay.
Hill said, the missing link in all systems of education known to civilization today may be found in the failure of educational institutions to teach students how to organize and use knowledge after they acquire it. He went on to say that we should understand the real meaning of the word educate. It's not going to a brick and mortar edifice for 25 years. Okay. That's gathering information. You'll probably develop your memory, but I would question how well you develop your mind. And I'm not against education, because I encourage my children to go to school as we know it. Now, he said the word education comes from the word educo. And he says it's derived from the Latin word educo, meaning to induce, to draw out, or to develop from within. An educated person is not necessarily one who has an abundance of general or specialized knowledge. An educated person is one who has so developed the faculties of their mind that they may acquire anything they want or its equivalent without violating the rights of others. An educated person is the one that knows how to go and get what they want out of life without being selfish.
In sense a researcher, somebody who knows what they're looking for and knows how to go about finding it.
Well, I think we should forever be involved in research, because learning is a lifelong process. You never stop learning. Education means to draw from within. We're drawing on an infinite source. We've got deep reservoirs of talent and ability within us. We can learn to do anything. We have phenomenal powers. If we used our body like we used our mind, we'd probably just move our little finger.
Okay. We don't exercise our mind enough.
No. But we're not taught to. Kids in school should be taught, before the school year ever starts, to sit down. They should be given a blank report card and get them to visualize the marks they want to get and write their own report card. This is before school starts. First week in school. And then the teacher should say, now I want you just to concentrate on how to get that mark, and I don't want you to think of why you can't. And I want you to form the attitude that you're going to get it. Now, some people say that's not being realistic. That's being very realistic. That's following the success principles that go back 6,000 years in recorded history. That's how everything was accomplished.
That's not engaging in fantasy thinking. In daydreaming,
no.
We talk about.
No. Well, that's where all greatness comes from. Greatness comes from fantasy. I would imagine that when Edison first saw the light bulb, he was fantasizing. But he kept fantasizing, and he built it into a theory, and then he built it into an image, and then he built it into a fact.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was a kid, it was a fantasy to think of going to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
We've been up there with cars, playing golf.
Okay, you mentioned in terms of success principles, attitude, this business of attitude.
Attitude. It takes in the way you think, the way you feel, and the way you act. I'd have a difficult time really explaining attitude right just in a conversation. I use a board in the seminar. And, I did an attitude seminar last night. We spent 3 hours dealing with that one subject, you know. So to do it here in 3 minutes, I can't do it. I haven't learned how yet.
Okay.
Let's put it that way.
I recognize it's difficult because we talk...
You have to have a winning attitude, though, Tom.
Okay. In human relations, we talk about the toughest thing with managing people. The toughest thing to deal with is their attitude.
That's right.
That's almost impossible.
And that's the one thing where management falls down.
But we can't change people's attitudes.
Well, nobody can change another person's attitude. The only attitude we can change is our own. But you see, if management have the idea it's their attitude and we can't do anything about it, then they're not going to do anything about it. But if management arrive at the conclusion, yes, it is attitude, and let's teach the people something about attitude. Let's teach them something about themselves. Let's make them realize that they're worth something, that they're valuable, that the greatest resource we've got Companies spend about 65% of every dollar that comes in goes back out on employees and wages and benefits, and yet management knows less about employees than anything else. They know more about the gadgets and the widgets than they do about the people.
Okay, so your suggestion is we develop a winning attitude.
Absolutely.
Can you define that for me, first of all? What is a winning attitude?
Well, if we can understand, let me digress for a second. The whole universe operates by laws, and there's a law of opposites. It's called the law of polarity. Everything has its opposite. There's a right and a left side.
Mm-hmm.
There's a front and a back, an up and a down, a hot and a cold, positive and negative, okay. Yang the yang. You know, well, you can think negative or you can think positive, but you can't think both at the same time. You're only going to think one way at one time. And we have to train our mind to think or look for the positive or the good in things. There's good in everything. There's no such thing as no good.
Car broke down on the way over to the station.
There's something good about it. Now, you may have to look to find out what it is.
Okay.
Yeah. But there's something good in everything. There has to be a positive and a negative for anything to exist. There's a law of gender that decrees that. Science understands it. It's taught in science.
Okay.
Well, once we understand that there's this law of opposites, there's negative thoughts or positive thoughts. As the thought energy flows into our mind, we decide what we're going to think. Person's out of work, they can decide to think I can't find a job, but they can decide to think I can. If they're thinking I'm going to find one, then they'll start attracting a train of thought to them, figuring out how to find it. You really have to understand how your conscious and your subconscious mind works in relation to your body or your physical world to understand attitude. Attitude should be taught as a subject in school ahead of reading, writing, arithmetic, or anything else. Because it's a person's attitude that's going to determine the marks they get.
Okay, and maybe part of attitude or related to attitude is this business of self-image, which you talked about.
Yeah, well that would, like we were talking about success principles, and I was saying, you got to get the winning attitude, you've got to set a goal. Then you have to work on self-image. Now, when we think, we build images in our mind. Dr. Maxwell Maltz discovered the self-image concept as we know it today in 1960. He was a plastic surgeon. And he realized he was operating on people. He may removed a nasty scar from their face, and he noticed sometimes when he removed the scar or maybe did a nose job on them or something, there was a great psychological change took place in the person. Where they may have been introverted, they started to become very gregarious and outgoing. And he postulated that there must be two images that we have: an exterior image, and we also have an inner self image.
Mm-hmm.
And he started to study this, and he wrote a magnificent book on it called Psycho-Cybernetics.
Mm-hmm.
And Psycho-Cybernetics, psycho being the mind, cybernetics being the science of control and communication. And he goes into this, and he explains how every one of us has an image in our mind of ourself. And it's called a self-image. Too many people don't know much about themselves, and so they don't have a very good image of themselves. And you'll often notice that people will shy away from you. They won't look you in the eye. They'll look down or look up. They'll never try to do anything of any great consequence because they don't think they can. They have a poor self-image.
Okay. Part of that is because through school we're told about what we don't do well. We failed here. We had low grades. Or
that
we
could
only
be part
got
of it.
60%
yeah.
Or whatever.
Okay. Yeah. I think there's been a great disservice done with the IQ test in that respect when you're bringing out school. Binet, the Frenchman back around the turn of the century, invented the IQ test, and then we brought it over from Stanford over here, and we'll test a person's intellect, and then we'll brand them good, bad, smart, not, and that's not true. We can change IQs by changing self-images.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, if we're told we're not very good, you're just like your dad, you know, you're a bum, you're never going to do well, you didn't go to school, you can't win.
Okay.
Well, that's all false. We can do anything. And we should be encouraging a child. Give them a pat on the back rather than a kick.
Okay, what can we do? Members of our viewing audience right now, most of us walk around with some degree of a self-image. Is that fair to say?
We all have a self-image.
Okay, would you say most of us have a negative self-image to some degree?
Well, let's say we can all improve our self-image.
Okay.
I don't care how good your image is, you can improve it.
Okay, how can we improve it? Something specific. How can we go about making our self-image more positive?
Well, again, you know, you're getting into a whole day seminar. If I could give you just a simple tip on it, if a person would sit down and let their body relax, totally relax,
okay,
and then start to visualize in their mind, see themselves the way they want to see themselves,
Which may take a good deal of thought, since we're not
well,
sure.
You relax, yeah.
I mean, in terms of how we want to see ourselves. Maybe we don't know how we want
to relate it to something specific.
Somebody we admire, maybe?
Or, possibly.
Somewhere we'd like to see ourselves down the road?
Okay. Yeah, see how you'd like to live your life. See yourself living it that way.
Okay.
Now, understand that that's a picture in your mind. When you pick up a book, the book is nothing but a picture that an author has painted in words. Van Gogh, the great artist, was asked one time how he did such beautiful work. He said, I dream my painting, and then I paint my dream. They get the picture in the mind, and then paint it on the wall, or on the canvas. Well, if we would relax and build the image in our mind of how we'd like to see ourselves, how we'd like to see ourselves acting in life, relating to other people, our social life, see ourselves in the position we hold, or how we make our sales presentations if we happen to be in selling or something, and then take that picture and describe it, write it out in the present tense. I am so happy now that I see myself, and write it out. Now, a lot of people will laugh at this and say, that doesn't make any sense. It makes a lot of sense. They can't tell you why it doesn't. I could spend hours telling you why it does, and I could explain it in such detail that everyone would understand it. But write out a description of how you'd like to see yourself. Start to read it, and read it, and read it, and read it every day. Carry it around and keep reading it. The one point that all the great teachers, all down through history, have all agreed on, they've been in complete unanimous agreement on it, we become what we think about. Now, it may be fantasy at first, it might even appear to us as being a lie. But if you read it often enough, you'll start to believe it. And when William James said, believe and your belief will create the fact, you will see the person's personality change. I watch people in the seminars, personality change right in front of my eyes. And all they're doing is starting to see themselves different. They're starting to think different thoughts.
So our thoughts control our actions?
Oh, there's no question about it. No, our thoughts control our feelings.
Okay.
Our feelings control our actions.
All right. And we control our thoughts.
Absolutely.
Or we can control
control our thoughts, yes.
Generally, though, one of our difficulties, one of our problems maybe, is that we tend to react to what other people tell us, and we consequently get the negative thoughts, and then that affects our feelings, and then that affects our behavior.
That's right. That's exactly the way it is. We read the newspaper. Doom and gloom's coming. We just accept it. Doom and gloom doesn't have to be coming. Do you know there's always been a depression for some people? I grew up with the idea that everybody went broke in the 30s. They didn't. Some made millions. I thought everybody went out of business. They didn't. Some people went into business. There's always a depression for some people, and there's always good times for others. Let's ask ourselves when we read something in the paper, do I want to get emotionally involved in that idea? If it's a negative idea, I don't want to get emotionally involved with it. I don't read the paper that often. I do, but not. I don't dwell on it.
You don't get emotionally involved in it when you see other negative.
When an idea comes into your mind, whether somebody else tells you or whether you read it in the paper, we should reason with it. Ask ourselves, will that idea help me get to where I want to go? If it won't, reject the idea.
Okay. All right. Bob, I appreciate it. Our half hour's gone by already.
Went fast.
Very quickly. Those that are interested in learning more about your philosophy of success, and I know you do give very specific tips on what they can do to become more successful, are welcome to attend your seminars.
Absolutely. Tell them to phone the office. We run seminars all the time.
Terrific. Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure, Tom. Glad to be here.
Seeing that clip on YouTube, I was like, man, I got to share it. Wanted to share that because and I believe that came from Procter Gamble Institute. I'm not sure. Try to write this stuff down so I don't forget it. Because then going through my phone, you never really find stuff. I'm always using it as a active tool. But I found that clip extremely helpful because mind is a terrible thing to waste, you know. Just going back to strongholds, a lot of people get into gangs early on, neighborhood packs and stuff like that, and those things become strongholds. You know, you see the girl that you like, man, say, man, boy, I want to get her pregnant, boy, you know, and little girls be, oh, man, I want to have a baby by him, you know, and those things are strongholds, you know, early on when you're young. Look at the things that your parents did, or even hearing the story that your parents did, or you may see something that you want in life and you say, hey, I can handle that. I can do it better or whatnot. And that's how it starts, you know, with strongholds. He said, don't be adamant about things that are not helping you to progress in the direction in which you want to go in. That's kind of one of the reasons why I gravitate towards those things, because it's pushing me in the direction that I want to go in. It's up for me to obtain the knowledge of what has happened to me in the past in order for me to know where I'm going in the future. You have to know where you come from in order to know where you're going. Otherwise, you're not going anywhere. See, in our lives, we watch a lot of other people have things, go through things. They enjoy life. They have fun. And we just sit on the sideline, man. All we want is the opportunity to enjoy life for ourselves, right? And in our mind, we think, man, I done came into life I ain't never had, and I'm going to die and I ain't going to be shit, right? But this is our punishment. Well, it's our parents' punishment. So our forefathers, our foremothers, you know, the Lord got them somewhere, and they get to watch what's going on in our lives and our reality right now because of the decisions that they made. They decided that they weren't going to give praise to the Most High. Everything that the Lord told them to do, they did the opposite. I mean, it's just like anytime somebody give you constructive criticism, you're going to do the opposite. You want to prove, no, I don't need that. I don't need you. I can do better than you. But, you know, sometimes people tell you and give you criticism because they want to see you do better. But the pride comes before the fall. See what I'm saying? That's how come we have a whole bunch of people that idealize CEO-ship. Like, man, I'm a CEO, I'm a boss. Just because you're a CEO, that don't make you no boss. Nigga, you the CEO and you somebody's employee. You know, you can get fired. Matter of fact, I'll fire your ass and keep everybody else on the payroll because you're the highest paid nigga on my payroll. But you want to be CEO, though, man. Boss, man, walk around all day, Bugatti shining and shit. That ain't what a boss do. A boss is creating realities, man. Got them doing logistics, trying to figure out how them trucks going to get from one place to another. States are closed. How we going to go around? It's going to cost me more money if I go up through this way. It's going to cost me less money if I go down that way. Damn, I wish 20 was open. See what I'm saying? That's what real bosses are doing. But a lot of us don't ever get a chance to understand what it means to ball at the highest level. Because we don't understand the highest level. They told us that they put a cap on, well, they put a ceiling on our cap. Well, they put a cap on our ceiling. It's a glass ceiling, so you don't even know it's there. But they tell you, man, you can become a boss, you can make $100 million, you can ride around, fuck bad bitches out there. Man, the highest level of gambling is the stock market. The highest level of balling is business. I'm talking about Apple balling. They balling so goddamn hard. Grand Theft Auto hate the fact that they balling so hard that they keep telling young Grand Theft Auto how hard they balling. I fruit phone. Put the bitch in Grand Theft Auto, right? I'm talking about out of the droid phone, motherfucking, that's in the game. They ain't got no radio station, dude. But the iFruit motherfucker had one, right? I wonder if they paid for that advertisement placement to be inside of Grand Theft Auto. Well, I wonder if Grand Theft Auto wanted to put it inside of Grand Theft Auto as a way for them to move forward into a new play with having some going in and merging with Apple or something. You see, this is business. This is how business is done. This is balling. I'm talking about this big boy balling. I'm talking about you balling so hard that people buy stuff and they think that they own it, but yet they still got an ongoing bill they're going with it, which means that they're not buying it. They're renting it. But it's the idea. It's an illusion. See what I'm saying? So, power of the mind. Mind is a terrible thing to waste. You know, people fill their mind up with dumb shit, and then whatever you put in is what comes out. You are what you eat. Your children will become you. So whoever you are, just imagine a little young girl, she gonna be 10 times hotter than you. If you hot, if you a hot head nigga and you just like beating up shit, while your son gonna whoop your ass. You cool, calm, collect, he gonna grow up be cool, calm, collect. She understands what it means to be a woman and not a hoe, she gonna grow up be a woman and not a hoe. Train the child in the way they should go and they won't depart from it, right? Hey, psychological. They tell us, hey, man, the president and them, they don't wear masks. Donald Trump still ain't wearing a mask. All I got my own podium. Don't nobody come in close contact with me. See what I'm saying? Mask off. But a lot of people are putting a mask on. your reality, what do you play into and why do you play into it is a good question to ask, right? Well, we ain't done with it. Psychological shit over here. Let's go ahead and get into that second part of this. See how they break it down and get you to do what they want you to do, when they want you to do it, how they want you to do it. Now that they got the power of your mind, because you don't have it, they do. More radio.
Hello, I'm Simon Whistler. You're watching Top 10's Net, and in the video today, we're looking at the top 10 grocery store tricks to get you to buy more. And just before we get started, I will say that this video is a collaboration with Coffee Break, a new YouTube channel. If you'd like to go check out their videos, please do follow the link in the description below, because if you like this one, you'll like their stuff. The guy over there who runs that channel actually wrote the script for this video. Alright, so when you walk into a grocery store, whether you realize it or not, everything is designed to make you buy more. From the carts to the smells, from the music to the shelves, very careful research has determined what will sell best. By knowing the tricks of the trade that your grocery store is using, you can become a more disciplined shopper and make sure you only buy what you need. In the video today, the top 10 tricks that grocery stores use in order to make you buy more once you're in the store. Number 10. Oversized grocery carts. Ever think, who could possibly use all this grocery cart space? Well, you are not alone. In fact, the majority of people don't even use half of that space. Grocery stores purposefully oversize your cart. By making your cart bigger than you need, it looks like it's never full, so it psychologically makes you feel like you haven't shopped enough. We naturally assume that the cart is sized to meet our needs, so, well, we try to fill it up. Kind of like how bigger plates will make you eat more, bigger shopping carts will make you shop more. According to Martin Lindstrom, marketing consultant, when shopping cart sizes were doubled, customers bought 19% more. So next time, use a smaller cart if your grocery store has one, and see if your spending habits change. Number 9. Aromas. Love the smell of freshly baked bread or fresh rotisserie chicken? Well, again, you're not alone, and grocery stores are ready to give you exactly what you want. From the moment you walk in the door, you're assaulted with all of these delicious smells for one reason: to get your salivary glands working. That is why the rotisserie chickens in the bakery are located near the front of the store. According to Paco Underhill, consumer expert and owner of EnviroCell, the grocery store wants you shopping with your stomach, not with your head. If you want to be a disciplined shopper, you have to be aware that those smells are deliberately placed where they are in order to entice you, and you must ignore them. Number 8. Free samples. When someone is handing free, delicious, bite-sized snacks out in a store full of food, it can seem like a totally altruistic gesture, but oh, it is not. No, you aren't being rewarded for being a loyal customer, and the grocery store is not just being polite by offering samples. Offering free samples is a great way to push a specific product, but the amount of sales increase varies wildly. There are some products, like beer, where a free sample can increase the sales by 70%, but there are also much more lucrative product samples as well. For example, if wine is the product sample, the sales of that product will increase on average by 300%. In the case of frozen pizza, sales will go up as much as 600%. Lipstick and other cosmetics are also great sample products and increase sales by 550%. So the next time you take a sample, just remember the kind people handing it to you might just be a little more devious than you think. Number 7. Music. We all know music plays a powerful influence on our mood, but did you know that stores use music to affect how fast we shop? It's totally true. During peak hours, stores will often play faster music to make you shop faster and get you out of the store. But during off-peak hours, many stores will play music with a rhythm that's slower than the average heartbeat. According to the author of Brandwashed, having slower-paced music makes people stay in the store longer and buy up to 29% more. If you want to spend less, maybe consider putting on some headphones and shopping to some up-tempo music. Number 6. Shelf height. Grocery stores know that what you see first is incredibly important. This is why shelf placement has almost become a science in grocery stores in order to make you buy the highest markup items possible. A quick rundown. The stretch level, which is above your head, is one of the worst places for a product. Some customers aren't even tall enough to reach this level, and even the ones who are don't want to reach up there. This is where low profit margins, small and light items, for safety reasons, are placed. The eye-level shelves are the most important place in the store. Products located at eye level receive 35% greater attention than those on lower shelves. Because of this, the store will often put the highest profit margin products here. Basically, if you're a bargain hunter, avoid shopping at this level. At the touch level, which is near the adult torso, is where all the kids' items go because this is the eye level for the average kid. This is why all the sweet cereals and candy is located between 3 to 4 feet high. Candy companies know better than to market to adults. Kids just have sweeter tooths, so they get all the attention from the companies selling sugary products. Finally, the stoop level is the height where you have to bend over to get the item. This is similar to the stretch level, and is one of the worst places on the shelf. This is basically product purgatory for everyone except bargain hunters who are willing to stoop over for a deal. So remember, if you're looking for good prices, don't look straight ahead, look up or down for the best deals. Number 5. Associated items. There are some products that we subliminally associate with each other, whether or not we realize it. There are a lot of things that can fall into this category. These are products where, if you buy one, you're very likely to buy another if you see it. Grocery stores know this and place these products next to each other because we're more likely to buy both products as a pair. This is why, for example, jelly would be right next to peanut butter in an American supermarket. It's also why the world over you'll find toothbrushes right next to the toothpaste. Number 4. Scattering the important items. One way a grocery store increases sales is by ensuring that the customer travels down each and every aisle. So, as important as it is to keep associated items close together, it's equally important to spread out the most important products evenly across the aisles in order to keep customers moving through the store. There are certain staples in most people's diets that are predictable: bread, milk, eggs, cereal, coffee, pasta, rice, beans, and meat, as well as some others. These are the products that most people go to the store for. By making sure each of these staple items has its own aisle means that the grocery store can essentially design your shopping trip and send you down as many aisles as possible. The olives, expensive cheeses, and vitamin supplements, which aren't usually part of shopping lists, can make it into the grocery cart because you have to pass by them while you're getting the essentials. By doing this, the grocery store maximizes the chance of you making an impulse purchase and filling up that oversized cart. Number 3. Mock grocery stores. By now you might be wondering, how could stores possibly have all of this data on shopping? Well, very few people know this, but most major consumer goods companies, including Unilever, Kraft, PepsiCo, and Coca-Cola, as well as others, have set up cameras within mock supermarkets to monitor customer buying habits. They stock the shelves with their own products as well as their competitors, then watch people as they come to shop. While their shoppers shop, cameras record their reactions and discover what makes them reject one brand and choose another. Another popular research tool is focus groups, where people are asked to shop in an online grocery store. Based on this data, the company develops what in business is called a planogram, a model for showing where each product could be placed on the shelves to generate the highest sales. Then the companies buy this shelf space in supermarkets and drugstores accordingly. Number 2. Got milk? This is probably the most well-known grocery store trick in the book. The grocery store puts the milk in the farthest corner of the store, so you have to cross the entire store in order to get to it. This is undeniably true, but there are actually two reasons for why the milk is in the back of the store. Milk needs to be refrigerated right away, so the fridges are located in the back of the store where the loading occurs. That way, the milk can spend the least amount of time in warm conditions. That being said, it doesn't hurt to have one of the best-selling grocery products be in the back corner of the store to ensure that everyone has to walk by all the other aisles. Number 1. Perception of freshness. The number one quality people look for in vegetables and fruit is freshness. Unfortunately, due to industrialized farming, oftentimes vegetables or fruits just aren't as fresh as we would want them to be. To get around this, grocery stores have found ways to trick us into thinking they are more fresh than they really are. For example, some supermarkets have been sprinkling their vegetables with a mist of water, a trend which came out of Denmark. Those tiny water droplets are associated in our brain as symbols of freshness and purity. Another example of this is that Dole and many other banana growers have focused a lot of research into learning what color of yellow best signals ripe and fresh to your brain. The perfect color is Pantone color 120752, also called Buttercup, which we will associate with the perfect banana. Even one shade of yellow off is considered to be inferior, and farmers will aim to hit exactly that Buttercup shade of yellow in order to make your mind think, oh, well, that must be fresh. So I really hope you enjoyed that video. As I mentioned at the beginning, it was in collaboration with another channel called Coffee Break. If you'd like to, please go and check out their stuff. They wrote the script for this video, so I think if you like this one, you'll really like what they're up to. They're a new channel, but we at Top Tens, we really love what they're doing. So please go check them out, link in the description below, as well as on the screen now. Also over there on the right, a couple of other videos that you might enjoy if you enjoyed this one, and thank you for watching.
Big shouts out to Top 10 for that. It helped to bring a lot of things together, didn't it? Okay, so people, there's a reason how come you can go to school, you can get an education, right? And then you go and apply for that job and still not get it. Or if you do get it, you don't get the money that you thought that you should get. One reason why some people go from higher educational institutions into what they consider to be a career field and don't get into that career field, 9 times out of 10, you probably haven't maximized training. See, there's a lot of other people that had a lot of doors open. They didn't walk through them doors. They waiting for you to walk through them doors. See what I'm saying? And if that door is open and you ain't willing to walk through it, let them know so they'll close. They can make room for somebody else. See, emotions, reactions. Sometimes you have an illusion of having a choice when really you don't have one. And then other times you think you don't have one and you have all the choices in the world. You see, us as people, we've been told to get up and when to go to sleep, what time to come in, what time to leave. So when you get to a point in life to where you're on your own, you don't know what to do, when to do, or how to go about doing it. It becomes a little bit more of a challenge for us, right? I want you to know that it's not just you. It seems like every time that you get off work and you're on your way home, it's always traffic. Traffic is designed. You gotta understand that. From the highway to the streets, traffic is designed. It's part of what your construction workers do. If you look at the biggest construction working firms in the country, around the world, they offer consulting service. They slow down traffic. See what I'm saying? Them red lights, them stop lights. See, they got them on timers. Half of them got cameras too and timers. They slow them down when you come home so that you'll stop by them stores. If they made it where that shit was green and you get straight home, you're going to go straight home every time. See, they're barriers. I don't consider them roadblocks. I consider them barriers because they only become a roadblock if you allow your road to be blocked. See what I'm saying? But don't let them build them barriers on you, man. You know what I'm saying? We got the king finna speak life. And whatever he say gonna be, cause he ain't man that he shall lie. Ain't that right? Big shouts out to the Most High or the Most High. We about to get out of here, but we gonna play this word inspired by the one that said, "Don't have one more game, move out radio."
Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said,
"Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.
Yes. Yes.
Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven.
Yes, Rabbi.
For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
You're teaching, Master.
Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Truly, I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law, until everything is accomplished. Anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven.
I want to hear more.
You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell.
Yes.
Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together, on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison.
Dear,
truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you, that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all. Either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth.
Yes.
But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
We honor you.
Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?
Yes, Lord.
And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You so
yes.
Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?
Yes,
for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow,
Amen.
For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you.
Yes, Rabbi.
Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in someone else's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye?
Yes, Jesus.
You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye,
yes.
And then you will see clearly to remove the speck from the other person's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Those who seek, find, and to those who knock, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake?
If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire.
Praise God.
Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house.
Yes,
it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash.
When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law.
I like how my nigga added that on the end about Shy. You know what I'm saying? He spoke with, and he spoke from a person that cared. And he didn't speak from authority. You know what I'm saying? Although he had it. It was given to him. Now and forever. Then. The now and forever. Man, big shouts out to the Most High. I got some more clips that I'm going to link to this show. I'm going to do one from Kyle from An Uprise. I'm going to do another one for Yashkara. Yashkara got a good one. Send you a video to one about Yashkara. But anything in that area. I'm talking about, like, after you click off that show and go back down and find that show in that list on Spreaker. In that area with the show that I'm linked. It's a lot of good stuff over there. I think that Judah might have had some from a couple of days that he had in relation to this. Or New Breed. Hey, I had an opportunity to go over there and check on Unk, unplug him. Man, I usually do my unplugins when I'm cleaning up, man. That was me and my grandma thing. Like 3-4 hours, I knew I was going to get good jams, good music, and a good healthy word, man. Clean this out from top to bottom now. But haven't been over there to unplug him lately. I've been over there the other day. He's still holding up well, still putting out content. I prayed it out as well with him and the folks up there in Detroit. But yeah, I got to link me some unplug them, because unplug them, goddamn, it's a good place to go, man. You'll learn a real word. You'll get a lot of good knowledge over there from that brother, man. He's a real good soul. Hey, once again, family, I want to say I appreciate y'all chilling with me today, hanging in. Pray that this word is edifying to everyone, because I know it is to me. These are a lot of things that I had to learn early on. psychological stuff, you know, learned some of that in school, learned how to apply it. I went to school for organizational psychology, so I had to get the psychological part of it, how to organize things like that, the play of the mind, the study of the mind, as far as when it comes down to products and services and things like that. But, you know, with a product, you know, they provide the services and stuff like that, but us as chosen people, we're the product of America, you know. It's a whole mouthful within itself. Maybe I'll break it down into a show, but I'm sure everybody get where I'm coming from is right now. But hey, thank the Lord for the day, the moment, and the hour. By way of you, how was I? Please send your angels camping around me, my friend, family, neighbors. You, your friend, family, neighbors. For without you, Father, we are nothing, but with you, we are all. Once again, by way of you, how was I? Love you, fam. This May 13th, 11:15 in the afternoon. I pray that you enjoy the rest of your day. Is there anything else? Nah, I think we got it all. Yeah, that's it. More Out Radio. Love again, family. Out. One.
If Jesus was the number one motivation, you would be talking about Christ. You would be getting with a brother or sister, spending time in His Word, building and edifying each other in His Word, talking about His Word wherever you're at. Wherever you're at. Morning, day, or night, wherever you're at, you want to be connected with believers. You want to be connected in the Spirit.
They don't understand the pain, they don't know my struggle. When they find you love Jesus, that's when they don't love you. Father, you the one I worship, I put none above you. The people screaming black God, yeah they stuck on colors. God is about to prep the table for the last supper. The lack of love in this world is why the people suffer. Yeah, the faith keep us rooted in the blood cover. Children, listen to your father, don't forsake your mother. Holy Spirit makes us perfect even though we nothing. Life is simple as the life given to the butler. You can kill most your problems if you love each other. I've been shattered into pieces, pieces make a puzzle. War is on the mind, your government is ISIS. Some people call on Jesus only in the crisis. But when they read the word, you never hear excitement. We paying for our water, our price is on the price list.
Our activities and collecting information. Facebook had tagged this personal information.
A chip is on the card, chip is in your license. The Antichrist spirit, these are his devices. They talking about the slaves when they talk about the climate. The wall in your mind, don't look down when you climb it. The book of life signing, lamb to a lion. The spirit is my teacher and this is my assignment. My drive was all gone, apply the alignment. Slave to your sin, I call that confinement. People call it rapping, I just call it holy vibing. Stay in isolation, I work better when it's silent. God made the earth, but before that it was silent. Darkness, void, no air that we could fly in. Then he formed Adam and his breath he put inside him. Then he split the waters, put the firmament inside it. God is the life and those without him ain't surviving. I knew he was the truth as soon as he said,
I am.
World's strongest man, they can never lift the wisest. Getting through them gates, we must be holy like your highness. My brothers speak the gospel and then they go apply it. The ones who live holy, the ones who ain't defiant. The sound of the trumpets, music at its finest. This one here for Israel, this one here for Zion. I'm talking real Israel, the real circumcised. The pure-hearted vessels with the dirt about their eyes. The ones who live in God into the world they done died. Who put away the pride and turn from their lies. A tongue untamed is a tongue that gets tied. People out here burning from that lust up in their eyes. The goats gon' burn, the sheep's gon' rise. They said it wouldn't rain and then came the tide. Water in the blood, locusts in the flies, Jesus he betrayed, and Peter he denied. He gave paradise to the thief when he died. He believed, and since he believed, he didn't die. He didn't die. He believed.
Section leaders, what is our concept?
One band, one sound.
One band, one sound. When one of us is late, we are all late. When one of us looks or sounds bad, we all look and sound bad.